Tri-County Contracting, worry-free roofing, siding, and windows. To sign up for a free estimate, get info on their worry-free roof tune-up or their free yearly roof inspections, or to get an instant roof quote, visit them online at tricountycontractingwi.com. Then he was also asked, a toady is a person who...
Oh, whose name is Grover Dill.
Was that Christmas Story?
Christmas Story. Scott Farkas and his miserable little toady, Grover Dill.
Jeez, well done.
Dude, you know what? It'd almost be worth it. to that take the spelling bee if that was
off, eight into ten.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, this is Wisconsin's Morning News. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Petrano.
Streaming live on the YouTubes anytime. Text WATCH to 855-616-1620. Click the WATCH NOW button if you want to have a window into the studio with us on this Thursday morning. Jury deliberation set to resume later today in New York City in former President Trump's hush money trial. Got the case Wednesday. Two questions hanging in the balance. When will they reach a verdict? And obviously, what will that verdict be?
Mm-hmm.
ABC's Peter Haralambos, who's been covering this trial from the start.
It's fully in their hands. They could take as long as they'd like. And it's hard to really read the time being any indication of how they're feeling. It's hard to know with this jury, but there's plenty of factors about witness credibility, the document-heavy evidence in the case that could make this the kind of deliberations that really drag on.
Could drag on. Or could not.
Or could end today.
Could have a verdict
for
this
all
morning.
We know.
Everybody looking for signs, right? What did the jury ask for Wednesday as they were deliberating? And then, and what does that mean?
Sources say Trump's lawyers are optimistic after hearing the jury wants to rehear testimony from Cohen. A possible sign they want to examine his credibility. We want chaos. We want evidence of strong disagreements, a person close to Trump's legal team tells ABC News. But sources say Trump's legal team did not react positively after finding out jurors want to rehear testimony from Pecker, who linked the catch and kill agreement to Trump's presidential campaign. Trump denies the affair.
Mother Teresa could not beat those charges, but we'll see.
Perry Russum, ABC News, Washington.
So I mentioned this yesterday. WTMJ alumnus and former prosecutor Jeff Wagner would also often talk about trying to read signs from the jury.
Right.
Suggested he'd grow broke on betting what a short deliberation meant or a long deliberation. Or they asked for this. So that means they're thinking, we don't know. It's 12 regular old people who've been thrust into this.
And asking for the judge to reread jury instructions or to read their own jury instructions, that's fairly normal. That happens quite a bit where they need to fine point what it is they're actually doing in there.
I guess you could argue that that suggests it's not a slam dunk one way or another, that they are going through some process.
Which is nice.
Exactly
what
is the
be.
Law here, yeah. Right? You know, we know all this evidence, but...
Yeah.
What is the legality of any of this, which is ultimately the question before them? So the jury will get back at it later this morning. 6:14, sports up next.
Time for an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Vetrano.
So I think we can call this one the Blake Perkins game, right? I think that's fair. The center fielder having himself a day and a half. In Game 3 of the Brewers-Cubs series at American Family Field.
3-2 pitch. Fly ball center field. Uh-oh. Perkins back. Still back. Leaping. Caught it! Oh, he timed it beautifully. And Blake Perkins takes a two-run homer off the board for Morrell.
So he steals a home run in the top of the third. Then in the bottom of the third.
Imanaga at the belt. Pitch to Perkins. Fly ball left center. It is way back, and it is gone! Blake Perkins robbed one in the top half, and now he sends one out.
Yeah, he did. That pretty much broke it open. Perkins would later have another big catch, then another big catch in the game. Afterward, he spoke to Jeff Levering on the Brewers Radio Network.
You see, like, people make these crazy plays and then, you know, come up and hit something cool, but I don't think I've ever robbed a home run and then hit one in the same inning. So,
I mean, check it off the list, man.
Yeah.
You know what that is? It's the NFL equivalent or the MLB equivalent of a pick six.
Yeah.
Right? Interception, return for touchdown. That's what that is right there.
And he admitted, he's like, yeah, I guess selfishly, I like the home run a little bit more, probably.
All right, cool, man.
And by the way, speaking of that home run, Shota Imanaga, the Cubs pitcher, He's been unbeatable.
You
this
said he
year.
Was amazing.
His ERA is under one. I think he's let in two runs scored.
Not
and
anymore.
Then he dropped seven to the Brewers. The Brewers torched him. Seven runs in four and a third. So what a game for the crew. They can take the series today. Day baseball at American Family Field. Brewers and Cubs. Pre-game at 11:35. First pitch just after 12 right here on WDTMJ.
To the NFL, Packers wrap up their second week of OTAs, organized team activities, today in Green Bay. Head coach Matt LaFleur in his Wednesday news conference is loving on everybody. Super impressed with cornerback Jaire Alexander.
Outstanding. Just, again, he's been here every day, shows up, great attitude, eager to learn, is out there competing with the guys, talking trash, which I love because I love just amping up that level of competition in a fun way.
I mean, I don't want to discourage our head coach from getting out there and talking at these OTAs, but what are we talking about?
I mean, listen, we're talking about practice. Not a game. We're talking about practice.
Fair enough. Thanks
I'm sure
that.
He'd rather not talk, to be perfectly honest.
Appreciate that reminder from 76ers great Allen Iverson. Mm-hmm. Practice will continue with one more week of these optional team workouts next week. The bad news is the Milwaukee Admirals are down 0-1 in their Western Conference Finals series, dropping Wednesday night's game against Coachella Valley 2-1. Good news is that means if they rip off four straight, they would clinch a spot in the Calder Cup Finals at home.
All right.
Okay, you like that spin?
Yes, I like that.
Admirals return home to Milwaukee next week for three straight. Got to win Friday night to make that happen then in Palm Desert against the Firebirds. Puck drops at 9 p.m.
And no charges for Scottie Scheffler. PGA Championship, right? He was number one golfer in the world, tried to drive into the course in Valhalla and was taken into custody by Louisville police. No charges. They've all been dropped.
The result of our increasingly political and divided nature as a people, as a state, as a country, right, is long past filtering into the branch of our government that is to be explicitly apolitical. And that would be the judiciary. Our judges are supposed to be nonpartisan interpreters and arbiters of the law. And there are several stories in the news this morning about how that, at best, does not appear to be the case. Supreme Court Justice Samuel Alito under fire.
My wife is fond of flying flags. I am not.
Okay, more on that.
No, that
in
wasn't
a moment.
Him, but that was him.
Yes. Let's start here in Wisconsin before we get back to Justice Alito and the battle over Act 10. We told you earlier this week public employees are suing once again in an effort to repeal Governor Scott Walker's signature piece of legislation that stripped most public employees of their collective bargaining powers with the state, resulted in efforts to recall Governor Walker. And the very judge who is set to rule on whether that law is constitutional appears to have himself signed a recall petition to kick Governor Walker out of office in 2011. First reported by Dan O'Donnell, later by the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel's Dan Bice and the Associated Press, Dane County Judge Jacob Frost, his name, his signature, and address appear on one of those recall petitions. Judge Frost didn't talk. Every story I read about this did not return phone call, not available for comment. Like, couldn't track him down.
Should have seen this coming. He should have known that this would come out.
Well, right. And so do you want to put that out there before you start deciding, right, I'm going to take this case? Even if you ultimately decide not to recuse yourself, at least put that out there. Mm-hmm. Just didn't think he'd get caught. Asked if he should recuse himself from the case, Governor Tony Evers, who also signed the petition when he was state education secretary, quote, let's just play it out. Everybody has to take a deep breath and just kind of let the system work the way it's supposed to work. Was this how the system is supposed to work? Judges throwing themselves into political controversy, then being asked to administer blind justice? It's not how it's supposed to work. There's a problem with this case, and ultimately everybody believes when it makes its way to the state Supreme Court as well. Newly elected Justice Janet Protasiewicz also signed the Walker recall petition, also on record having said before she was elected that she thought Act 10 was unconstitutional. She has at least indicated that she would consider recusing herself from the case. She's going to be under tremendous pressure from these public employee unions and from the left who'd like to see this overturned to not do that, because that would leave the court in a 3-3 conservative liberal split.
Right.
Ends in a tie, status quo remains. So we'll see what she ultimately decides to do. Back to the U.S. Supreme Court, where Justice Samuel Alito is resisting calls for him to recuse himself from future cases dealing with the January 6th riot at the Capitol and efforts to prevent the certification of President Biden's election. This is about two flags seen in recent years flying over his multiple homes. One, an upside-down American flag flown the days after January 6th. ABC's Terry Moran.
The other flag, a pine tree flag outside the Alito's New Jersey beach home last summer. A Revolutionary War flag also carried by some pro-Trump supporters on January 6th. Alito explained that his wife flew all kinds of flags at the beach house. Team flags, college flags, patriotic flags, and more, adding, "I was not familiar with the appeal to heaven flag when my wife flew it. I was not aware of any connection between that historic flag and the Stop the Steal movement, and neither was my wife."
So Justice Alito claiming ignorance on the meaning, and it wasn't him anyway, it was my wife.
I don't know what that means.
Each of these are individual circumstances, and the issue of recusal an open question and all, but the larger point is political messaging coming from folks who are duty-bound to be apolitical. And that bit about the wife spoke to me because, you know, I was never a judge, but in a little bit different role when I anchored the news on TMJ4 and as a reporter. I remember my wife had volunteered for a campaign of a local politician, and we hadn't talked about it before she did, but it was a race that I was supposed to cover.
Mm-hmm.
And so we talked about it at home. I'm like, this is not good for us. She's like, well, this is me. It's not you. I'm like, this, I'm terribly sorry.
It could come back around.
Yes.
Right, right.
She has a right to have her politics, mm-hmm, and sure, her beliefs. Course, and I appreciated that she wanted to volunteer in a civic way. But I went to the management at 4. I'm like, hey, this happened, and we decided I wasn't going to cover that race.
Hmm.
And she also no longer volunteered.
Yeah, we've had similar situations. My wife has asked me a couple of different times about putting signs up, and I'm like, you can, mm-hmm, but I'd really prefer it if you don't. And it has nothing to do with my politics. It's just that
right.
It's going to come back around in some way. Someone's going to see that and wonder what that means. So she's always been cool about not putting up the signs.
Talked about this before, the appearance of impropriety. If it looks like the fix is in, then you can't blame people
right.
when they argued the fix was in.
Perception becomes reality.
And if we can't have faith in the decisions of our judiciary, we are truly lost. 627 on Wisconsin's Morning News. Packers have OTAs once again today in Green Bay. There is a move to change the off-season schedule, push all this stuff closer to training camp midsummer. Packers head coach Matt LaFleur, he doesn't like it. He'll tell you why coming up in sports at 645.
So our two Wisconsin spellers, you want an update from the Scripps National Spelling Bee?
We have two in the bee,
yeah,
right?
We had Nethra. She is from Franklin, and she unfortunately was knocked out in the fourth round. She misspelled Hamelia, which is a flowering plant.
Okay.
Hamelia.
Hardly a gimme.
Right. No, yeah. And then we had Wisconsin speller Aiden. He went a little bit farther. Here's one of his. He had the multiple choice question.
What is a greenhorn? A, a lookout on a sailing ship. B, a musician in the military. C, an inexperienced person.
C, an inexperienced person?
That is correct. Thank you.
Yeah, so he got that one right. Then he was also asked, a toady is a person who...
Oh, whose name is Grover Dill?
Was that Christmas Story?
Christmas Story. Scott Farkas and his miserable little toady, Grover Dill.
Jeez, well done.
Dude, you know what? It'd almost be worth it to take the spelling bee if that was
what he said. Took that.
Yeah, Grover Dill.
Unfortunately, he didn't say Grover. He said a toady is a person who will not pay their debts. The correct answer is a toady is someone who acts in a submissive manner.
Yeah, that's so. Right.
He was incorrect. So
Grover Dill was the toady to Scott Farkas.
Aiden was knocked out. He tied for 17th, so that's not bad. Championships are tonight. If you're interested, it's on ION, which is over-the-air channel 55.1. 55.1. ION also on most of the cable stuff. So
6:38 on Wisconsin's Morning News.
Time to celebrate an everyday hero. An everyday hero on Wisconsin's Morning News is when we celebrate an average John or Jane Doe who had no idea when they got up one morning that they'd be saving a life, that they'd be in go mode. A little bit more of go mode here in a second.
Here you go. Who do we got today?
Everyday hero sponsored by Azura Memory Care and Assisted Living, transforming the culture of care, Azura Memory Care. Today we head to California, Contra Costa County, Troy White, driving his daughter home from soccer practice when he pulled up on a crash scene. A vehicle rolled over on fire.
Instincts, absolute adrenaline kicked in. I was all go. You know, it was go mode.
It was go
yeah,
mode.
Troy.
That's what Troy tells NBC Bay Area.
Go
he
mode.
Immediately got out of his car.
Ran over there as fast as I could. When I got there, the mother was climbing out of the vehicle through the top.
Yeah, so a woman climbing out of this wrecked car. Again, it's on fire inside her three-year-old girl daughter.
She was just dangling, and her foot was touching the ground through the broken window hole. She was saying, help me, three times, and then she said, I don't like this.
Oh, no, you do not.
Well, oh, that girl, her name is Paisley. So Troy starts messing around with the car seat. And those things, those straps are pain when the car's not on fire.
Right. Just, by design, right.
Awkward
yes.
angle. He's busy trying to get with them, trying to get them unstrapped. This, as the fire is growing.
The vehicle was in flames. And, you know, it crossed my mind that it was dangerous. But, you know, it has to be done.
Yeah, there's a moment there when he's like, yeesh. You know, is he going to be able to get this thing done before this thing explodes? Mom's starting to panic now because he can't get it out. He finally gets her unhooked, pulls the girl from the car moments later. The car explodes moments later. Little Paisley's okay. Troy's okay. He pulled her to safety. The girl's mother tells NBC Bay Area News that her family owes him everything. Troy says he's happy to do it. Here's a pretty neat moment, too, for him. He's celebrating a big milestone at the same time.
I'm 6 months clean and sober today, and life is so good today, and I'm so blessed.
Well, little Paisley, she's blessed, too, there, Troy. All because of you. Troy White, thank you for being an everyday hero. Everyday Hero, sponsored by Azura Memory Care and Assisted Living, transforming the culture of care.
Time for an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Vetrano.
He did just about everything Blake Perkins did. The center fielder had himself a day in Game 3 of the Brewers-Cubs series.
And the one strike delivery hit in the air to right center and deep, and this one is going to be caught. Again.
Okay, that was Blake and Perkins number two. Here's another.
First pitch to him. To center field. Back goes Perkins. Still back, and he will make the catch again. Over the shoulder with a backhand. Blake Perkins having the game of his life defensively.
That was number three. He also robbed a home run earlier in the day. Pat Murphy.
Perkins, homer. Oh, wait a minute. By the way, he made three unbelievable catches, saved all those runs. And, by the way, homer. Game to remember.
Yeah, he also went yard. Went yard, had a double, had himself a day as the Brewers thumped the Cubs 10-6. I think, incredibly, one of the biggest attributes is the whole offense as a whole. Shota Imanaga is nothing to sneeze at. That pitcher for the Cubs had under ERA under one, was 5-0, had a great start to his career in the MLB, and the Brewers torched him for seven. I think Yelich's ball, his home run, hasn't landed yet. I think they said it's somewhere
still being
over
spotted.
Lake Michigan somewhere. They can take the series today. Day baseball for the Brewers and Cubs at American Family Field. Pregame at 11:35. First pitch just after 12 right here on WTMJ.
Today and then 3 days next week left on the Packers schedule for OTAs, these optional workouts in Green Bay. That's followed by mandatory mini camp, which is followed by training camp. Some talk reportedly from the players' union about ending this sort of piecemeal approach, a couple of weeks here, then we're off, then we come back for this and that, and bumping all of this stuff back closer to training camp in midsummer.
I would not be in favor of that.
All right. Okay. Packers head coach Matt LaFleur asked about it on Wednesday. He doesn't like it. Why not, Matty?
It's particularly bad for, I would say, a lot of undrafted guys because you just don't have the time to invest in the process and learn the playbook or... You know, so I don't think it would be good for the game personally, but that's, I don't think they really care what I have to say.
He's not wrong. Coach, right?
I guess, right, his point, these things are collectively bargained between the league and the players' union, so above his pay grade.
Yeah.
As a fan, I don't like it because I agree with Coach LaFleur in that, especially for newer guys, there's a lot to absorb.
Sure.
You ever seen one of those NFL playbooks, offense or defense? I mean, it's a foot thick.
It's a binder.
So
times
like,
five.
Right. Let these guys have a chance to absorb that. I suppose from the player's perspective, they like to be, you know, like off is off. Like give me a few months to just not do this. Mm-hmm. this allows the team to, you know, have these checkpoints, make sure guys are on track. So I like that as a fan. I get why the players maybe don't like it as much, but see how that plays out. Quickly, the Milwaukee Admirals will try to even the series Friday night before heading back to Milwaukee in the Western Conference playoff finals. They lost to the Firebirds of Coachella Valley 2-1 Wednesday, so they're down 0-1 in this best-of-seven series. Next game, 9 o'clock tomorrow night in Palm Desert.
So there's this new poll out that says working from home has left more people lonely, that a more faceless and scheduled workday has 58% of people saying they are lonely right now. And I bring that up to ESPN Milwaukee's Jen Latta, who's on the phone joining us right now in Wisconsin's Morning News, because if you're working from home and you're more lonely, it means you're not enjoying the day-to-day politics and weirdness of being in the office like we have here, Jen, where we have this controversy over someone walking home with a prize. What was it? A pizza cooker that was supposed to go to a listener, but instead someone stole here from the office.
Now, you say stole. Do we know that, Jen?
I don't know if we know that someone stole it. I still am willing to give someone the benefit of the doubt. Hi, guys. I'm Ellen.
What's going on?
I'm now here in studio. I was on my phone, but now I'm here.
If you needed 30 seconds, I could have done two more days of weather.
I couldn't find a parking spot in our lot. Lovely lot. Glad we have it. I'm willing to give our colleague the benefit of the doubt that, like, it was an honest mistake, that they thought it was, you know, free for the taking. We have a closet full of things, T-shirts and koozies. Cozy would be like a sleeping bag.
Yeah.
And I'm just willing to say, until we hear from the person who can kind of say what went on, I'm willing to give them the benefit of the doubt.
We're never hearing from that person. See, how this came to light is there was an email sent out to the whole company here. Hey, we're missing this pizza cooker, one of these appliances, right, where you just put the pizza in and it makes the
thing. Like a pizza oven.
Missing this pizza oven. It was supposed to be a prize. So whoever, I don't even know if they phrased it, whoever mistakenly took that, please bring it back.
Yeah, because you're innocent until proven guilty.
But then it just reappeared.
It reappeared in the dark of the night.
Because you guys, I think, were the first ones to arrive.
I was the first one to see it, which makes me a prime suspect, I suppose.
Well, you said 4:30. So between the hours of, 10:30 is when the email went out, 4:30 is when it arrived. 4 p.m. apparently is when this place turns into a ghost town.
It can confirm.
So between 4 p.m. and 4:30 a.m., somebody Pink Panthered their way back into this place and dropped off the pizza oven.
No note, no admission, no anything, just here. All right, the oven's
back. And yesterday
morning
when we were discussing this, I said maybe they want to have a face-to-face conversation because that's not the kind of thing you leave on a post-it note, you know?
Yeah.
Or an email. You want to say... I made a mistake and I'm sorry.
We had an interesting conversation with one of our bosses here in the company, and she was saying she's not sure she wants to know who it is, because if she has that knowledge, then she is therefore forced to act in some way
discuss. And she knows that she wouldn't be able to keep it a secret.
I'd be telling everybody who it is.
Okay. Well, I believe discretion is part of that job description, but I digress.
It should be.
I don't think it's a fireable offense. I think that you hear someone out as to what their explanation was, what their justification was. I think people make mistakes. I think the way that you move on is to learn from mistakes. And I don't think we can write off everybody after, you know, an innocent mistake. And
I don't know, man, that wasn't a hat. It was an oven. And one of those things cost $100.
This has to happen at offices all the time, though. Like, people probably walk away with stuff from the office.
Have you seen my stapler?
Like, yeah, that's right.
Very famously.
I got a bag full of pens and who knows what else.
Right,
okay,
yes.
Fair enough. But
yeah.
Right,
do
this
you
is
or
a
do you not
oven.
Have a mug from upstairs in your house because you accidentally walked out with it one day? Or
do.
Is that just me?
No, do. Right. Who knows what else is in there?
All right. Well,
I don't know. Are they going to find?
There will be resolution to this. There will be.
Or is it not resolved? The oven's back. All is well.
That's what a lot of people said on our talking text line yesterday. The oven is back. What's the harm? Move on.
It wasn't me. And here's how you know it wasn't me.
I don't know.
He thinks he doth protest too much.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of shaggies that have shown up in the last 24 hours, too. It wasn't me.
6:58.